You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We're going to talk about tonight's game against the Denver Nuggets. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. This Denver game will be the Pacers' fifth on their I should look at the schedule more often. Fourth or fifth game on their current road trip. They haven't lost yet, which is impressive. But it's going to be challenging for a wide variety of reasons. And I am eager to watch this game because I really like watching the Nuggets. They have a lot of players I really like, between Millsap and Gary Harris and Jokic. I don't know if Gary Harris is going to play, but they have a lot of players I really like watching, and it's going to be a tough test for the Pacers, so this will be a good one. Unfortunately, no guest here for the Nuggets. I wanted to have TJ McBride on from Mile High Sports. He's my go-to Nuggets guy, so I'll plug him anyway. Rare moment for me to plug someone who's never been on the show before. TJ McBride, I don't know his at, but he's my favorite Nuggets guy. I wanted to have him on, but he's busy. Shout out to TJ. He let me know that he does not think Gary Harris is going to play in this game, so that is encouraging because Gary Harris is a very good NBA player and Indianapolis native Gary Harris. So we love Gary Harris on the pod because he's an Indianapolis native. But it does not sound like he's going to play, which opens things up quite a bit for Victor Oladipo, who's been on an absolute tear recently to have a good game. But this game is going to be very interesting. As it stands right now, Denver and Indiana. You guys know the Pacers playoff push. I don't need to explain it. Just half a game behind the Sixers and a game behind the Cavs. And I'm recording this on Monday when no one's playing, so everyone's had a good day to digest kind of where the standings are. But, you know, Cavs, Sixers, and Pacers combined right now have 18 straight wins. Like, none of them want to give up that home court advantage. They're all pushing as hard as they can while the Wizards just crumble out of the way. But the Nuggets, currently, just one game behind the Pelicans and a game and a half behind the Timberwolves, who they play two more times this year. For the final two seeds in the playoffs. So this game is huge for them to really cement their positioning and give themselves a chance to get into this. And they played Indiana really tough in Indiana. I'll talk about that game a bit later. But you know, this is a huge opportunity for them. And I think the biggest struggle for the Pacers is really the schedule here. You know, they come in on a road trip, and you know, the first thing is just that it's in the altitude of Denver, and that is always a challenge, just because, like, I think Denver has the best home court advantage in the league with that altitude, and it's not their fault, like, they're just in Denver, but it makes it hard for other teams with the air, and the Pacers, it's fourth. I looked it up finally. It's the fourth game of the road trip. They're just going to be tired. You know, the end of these road trip games are always the most challenging ones, and you know, the combination of those two things, I think, is just makes it a lot harder for them to have a competitive puncher's chance in this one. And Denver already is a good team. If you remember, they played in Indiana earlier in the year, and it took Victor Oladipo's best game of the year, which I'll talk about later, combined with overtime to win. And Denver didn't have Millsap or Jokic. So really, Denver kind of had the upper hand that whole game, except for Vic just being, I mean, that was a crazy game. But really, you know, a lot of disadvantages for the Pacers, including Denver just, like, really wanting to win and coming off a huge emotional high. So those of you that didn't see it, I'm talking a lot about the Nuggets before I really talk about this game, and I apologize. But Denver's last game on Sunday against Milwaukee was insane down the stretch. I mean, just one of the craziest games of the year to me. So in the fourth quarter with, I think, a minute and 3 seconds to go, the Bucks were up by 8. I think it was 103-101. Yes, it was 103-101. And then Jamal Murray hit some free throws, and then Chris Middleton missed a jumper, and then Jokic hit a nice shot in the floater in the lane after an offensive rebound, and then Jabari Parker missed a shot, and then they cut it to 3 after the Jokic shot, and then they had a chance to tie it, and Paul Millsap turned it over with 5 seconds to go. They're down by 3. So that's it. Denver loses. Like, that might be their whole season. And then they force a turnover on the inbounds. That's awesome. So then they turn it over themselves again after forcing a turnover. That's bad. So the Bucks get it in after turning it over. They get Jason Terry, who misses both free throws. Then another turnover by the Bucks. Then the Nuggets get it back. They get fouled on a three. Jamal Murray hits all three. They make it to overtime, and they end up winning. So just a really, really crazy game for them. And to keep their season alive and such a gritty win is just absolutely huge. And I'm sure they're going to be riding that high into this game. I might have messed up that ending. It's really hard to read through this game log. There's so many stoppages. If you go to 2.8 seconds left in this game on NBA.com's like play-by-play, there's like 1,000 things that happened with 2.8 seconds to go. Substitutions, free throws, 2 turnovers, an instant replay for an altercation ruling. Just a really complicated game. But I did watch the highlights of the plays on Twitter. I didn't actually see it happen, but it looked like it was really crazy. So Denver, again, you know, they're really in the thick of a passionate time for them. So this will be quite the interesting game. But the first game's where I want to start. The first Nuggets-Pacers game is where I want to start to digest this one. It's tough to compare this game and that one because, like I said, no Jokic and no Millsap in that first game for Denver. But what really killed Denver in that first game was actually their starters, which is ironic because so Mason Plumlee started at center, and then they had Wilson Chandler at the 4 and Will Barton at the 3. Wilson Chandler was horrible, and Will Barton was also kind of horrible. And Will Barton and Gary Harris both played 44 minutes. They just had no depth on the wing at all. But their bench was actually really solid. Malik Beasley was really good in his minutes. Moutier didn't suck when he was on the court. He's not even on the team anymore. Now it's Devin Harris who's better. And then Trey Lyles shot the ball well. He was 5 of 7 from deep, so you know, they got more from their bench than their starters in that game. And I think if that happens again, I don't think the Pacers have a chance. You know, it's going to be really tough for them to figure this one out without, if Trey Lyles is shooting that well again, because he's not even close to as good as Paul Millsap versus in the first game, he's nearly as good as Wilson Chandler. But Vic was the reason they won the first one. If you recall this time, if you were a listener at the time, this is like kind of right before like it was like official that Oladipo is consistently going to be an all-star this year. And I was still kind of teetering on like who's better between him and Gary Harris. And now I look like an idiot for even suggesting that Gary Harris is better because Oladipo is clearly better. But if you don't remember or you're more recent fan of the team, Oladipo had 47 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and was just willing them to baskets in overtime. 6 three-pointers, 11 free throws. I mean, just a ridiculous, ridiculous performance. I think that's the most fun Twitter has ever been for Pacers fans. But something else to note from that game, which I think is actually very, very important, is that it was that game where Collison didn't play. It was that first game where we learned of his knee problem this season. And Corey Joseph started, and Jamal Murray was the only starter who was a positive for the Nuggets. So I think that is worth noting that Jamal Murray kind of had Corey Joseph's number, and he's kind of a guy who can do the same stuff that Collison, and he just had a really good game against the Nuggets. And I picked Millsap as my butcher on our Me and Adam show, but you know my third guy would have been Murray after the two big men for Denver, who I'll talk about in a second. Because he's so streaky that if he just gets hot, it's over. Like they have such a high powered offense that just completely changes the game. But another guy who's huge was Lance in that first time, and he was the first guy off the bench because of the Collison injury. I know Sabonis is technically the first guy off the bench, but he's actually not, and he had 4 fouls, so he only played 19 minutes. But Lance was a plus 10. He did a nice job defending wings. He was 6-11 from the field. He was home Lance. We will not have that in this game. What a weird rotation. Joe Young and TJ Leaf were the 7th and 8th guys in the rotation last time they played, and they won. So that's crazy. But injuries for both teams. So that's what is going to make Denver so much more deadly this time, is the re-addition of their two best players, really, between Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap. And I get the whole like Jokic debate online, like advanced stats love Jokic, and I get why people who watch Jokic don't like Jokic. Like, he's really, really unflashy, and that's fine. Like, a lot of guys aren't flashy. Jokic, to me, is just a stud. I love Jokic. One of my top 5 players to watch in the whole league. And for those of you who have not been keeping up, I think we set his stats on the show already this week for the year, but 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists as a center is just bonkers. And a lot of his passes are like no looks and things like that. But the thing that makes him so special is 39% three-point shooter now. Who saw that coming from him? I mean, that's insane. Even if, I mean, he's shooting a career low from two-point percentage, really. So if he could find a shot inside the arc, I mean, he'd be 20 points a game almost right now. I mean, he really is has turned out to be a special guy. And they run a lot of high post sets through him because of his good passing, and he can put it on the floor, and he reads the game at a high level. So Turner is a really is a guy to watch for the Pacers, because Turner's going to be chasing him to the high post, and Turner's going to have to make the read on the plays and make sure he's dropping to the right spots to protect the basket, because Denver's offense could Denver has an offense that could really suit to pick apart this Pacers team, just because they have a lot of movement and they run a lot of stuff through the high post, which will suck guys away from the basket. And they don't run a lot of stuff that involves on-ball defense on the wing, which the Pacers have excelled at. And then Millsap's the other guy I really liked, and my butcher ultimately. Like Jokic, but less so. Really all over the stat sheet kind of guy. 15 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and the best defender by a lot on the team. He is shooting, Paul Millsap is shooting 36.7% from 3, 52% inside the arc, 70% from the free throw line. A really efficient guy. He's really helped with their defense. Last year it was like last in the league, and now it's all the way up to 26. But, I mean, that is still a big thing to improve on defense, and especially when you you know, are missing Wilson Chandler for a lot of the year, and Danilo Gallinari, who's really good too. So having Millsap is still big for them, and Thaddeus Young's going to have his hands full. Like Jokic, Millsap, you know, runs around to the right spots, makes the right plays a lot of the time, and is a really good defender. So those are the two guys I'm going to be looking the most out for. If the Pacers can keep themselves in the post battle, we already know what Oladipo can do. And without Gary Harris, like I said earlier, Vic could have another huge game. Will Barton can't guard him. He just can't. That's it. So it's going to be a good opportunity for Vic to keep his hot streak up and give the Pacers a win here. And he'll obviously be the X factor for Indiana because of that. But with it being the fourth game on road trip, if he's even a little bit less than 100%, I don't think the Pacers have a huge chance, because the altitude, the Nuggets are going to be at full strength of, or more strength than the first time these two teams played, and they're really hitting stride. And I think in the starting five, I think the Nuggets just win more individual matchups. So, and in theory, you could say Vic wins the shooting guard matchup by more than any other matchup on the court, and that might be true normally in a vacuum, but because of being in high altitude, fourth game of a road trip, I would say that the magnitude of that difference is lessened. So I do like Denver's chances, unfortunately, for the Pacers as they push for 50 wins and a top three seed in the Eastern Conference. But there are ways they can slow them down. You know, Turner's got to have active hands. Like, it sounds like such a middle school coach's way to describe what he needs to do. But keeping his hands up so Jokic can't see passing lanes, I literally just did the motion that I want him to do in my chair. So that's really embarrassing. I'm glad these aren't, like, filmed. but I think that's going to be very key for him, and recognizing what cuts are happening so he can slide back to the rim and be his normal good rim-protecting self. I think Sabonis is going to be important because Mason Plumlee is an underrated passer as a backup center, and that's a matchup that's going to be harder for him to win, and he's been playing terrible defense recently. So I would like to see him give it his all and really hit the glass, because Denver's not the greatest rebounding team. That could be somewhere where Sabonis can shine. And other places on the court, Wilson Chandler's a good defender, and it'll be interesting to see if they switch him onto Vic and have Will Barton on Bojan. And in that case, Bojan can get to the rim and post up Barton. And Bojan's been better on the basket than people give him credit for. That's another thing to watch. And I know I said the point guards will struggle with Murray just because of his streakiness, but they can also take advantage of his terrible defense. So if there's something to go for, if there's really something I think the Pacers can make a bread and butter way to win this one on, it's a Collison-Turner pick and roll. And just put Jokic and Murray through pick and roll after pick and roll on the defensive end, because neither of them are very good defenders. But I think there's enough Nuggets advantages that this will be a tough game for the Pacers overall. And they actually have some solid bench guys after, you know, acquiring Devin Harris at the trade deadline. It sounds like very little, but they were really weak at backup point guard. And now, you know, Harris and Malik Beasley's looked good recently. And Indianapolis native number two mentioned on this podcast, Trey Lyles, has been good this year. So they're just a solidly deep team. If they had Gary Harris, I would absolutely pick them to win. But without Harris, I think there's a chance the Pacers win, but I think Denver just has an obvious path to success here. But we'll have to see. You know, they I tweeted this out. Yeah, I say in my head, I think, oh, no way the Pacers win this one, blah, 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 and then they find a way to win, and give them credit for that. McMillan's been great, making the right adjustments at halftime recently. They keep coming back and winning, showing a lot of guts, and they have a lot to play for, so should be a great game, and I'm really excited to see how it goes and eat crow about not picking them to win, but we'll see how we'll see what happens. But if you want to yell at me for saying something dumb, like saying it's their fifth game of their road trip when it's their fourth, or a lot of other stuff that I say that's dumb, you can follow me at TEastNBA. The podcast is at Locked On Pacers. We tweet out all the episodes with a nice preview, and we need to use the Twitter more constructively than just tweeting out episodes and responding to people who have comments and criticisms. So if you have a way you think we could use our Twitter better, like live tweeting during games or something like that, let us know. We'd be happy to have that. Leave us a rating on whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. That would be very appreciative. And everybody have a great Tuesday. Adam's going to recap this game for you guys tomorrow.